We are going to talk about a couple of things, but we are going to talk about that scripture we just read and the word Sonder, right? I'm going to tell you now in advance, Sonder is not in the Bible, all right? That was not a biblical video. Don't go home and say, like, in John, they talk about this one thing, right? But I think it reflects a lot of biblical things, so we'll talk about that. But essentially, the concept expressed in the video and the concept I think expressed in this verse that we just read is the idea that you, while simultaneously being the main character of your own story, are an extra in everyone else's story, right? So like while I'm pursuing my dreams, living my best life, and while I'm doing myself, I am also a side character in Anjanette's story when she is living her dreams and doing her best self. All right, it's that realization of the interconnectedness of all of our stories, and that sometimes me being the main character of my own story is not as important as me being the side character in someone else's story. All right, that's what we're going to talk about today. So to open up, I want to tell you guys, this is a story about, because I am so attracted to this word. This is, there's a guy, he does this thing, it's called the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, and essentially he just makes up words that should exist, right? So like, there's a concept, like one of them is like the fact that toast always lands butter side up. He's made up a word for that. You know, like whatever concept he thinks a word should exist for, he just makes up that word and then he makes this trendy little video for it. And it's just a great thing. So that is where that word comes from. And I'm so drawn to that because I think that just describes my life. I think I am constantly this character in someone else's story. And it's mostly because I do ridiculous things. And I love helping other people have stories, all right? So I'm gonna give you an example before we get in, and then we'll just dive right in. When I was in college, they had these things called social clubs. They were kind of like fraternities, but like not like fraternities because it was a small school, you know, so like it wasn't this like national, like weird keg stands all the time kind of fraternity. It was more just a bunch of like nerds hanging out. But so during pledging one time, we were at a different school. If anybody knows Abilene, Texas, we were at ACU, and we were hanging out. And we were like, hey, pledges, there were these two adorable, it was almost like imagine Justin and Meredith sitting on a bench at ACU. And ACU is just this like gorgeous campus. And ACU is known for people getting proposed to just all the time there, right? And so like imagine a Justin and Meredith type couple. They're just sitting on a bench. They look like they're in love, like staring at each other, talking quietly. We're like, oh, how sweet. And so we're like, pledges, we want you to go over to that bench to that couple. And we want you to just like, no words, no prompting, just start singing You've Lost That Loving Feeling. All right, just start singing that to them. It was a thing. Our club does something special with that song, so they all knew it. So they went over, and a couple of us went with them, and we stood there, and we just sang basically the chorus to You've Lost That Loving Feeling, right? And so we get done, and we're so proud of ourselves, and then this girl looks up at us, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she says, guys, he's breaking up with me. And we were like, oh, no. And so then we just turned around and walked away, terrified of what we had just done. In that moment, we were side characters in a story that I am sure both of them are still telling. I am sure somewhere right now there's a girl saying, guys, this is my worst breakup. You'll never guess what happened to me. All right, that is kind of the concept of Sonder, realizing that we are these side characters in other people's stories. Right? And that's what I think is going on in this verse. Because essentially what you have is you have John the Baptist. Does anybody know anything about John the Baptist? Yeah, what do we know about John the Baptist? Anybody? Yeah, he was like Jesus, I think. Yeah. Related to Jesus. What else do we know about him?
He was cray.
Yeah, he like hung out in the wilderness and like wore burlap. Actually, that's like kind of part normal for this church. Like ate locusts, wore sackcloth, hung out in the wilderness, very like nature and adventure-y, like kind of Bear Grylls of the ancient world. What else do we know about him? He baptized Jesus, right? That's like a key part of John the Baptist's life, right? John baptized Jesus. All right, like if thus John the Baptist, he was a baptizer, right? He went around baptizing people and he baptized Jesus. As an aside, so in case y'all guys didn't know, I grew up and still am, I claim Baptist, not Southern Baptist, don't hold that against me, but I claim Baptist. And I would always, I love the joke of Jesus is a Baptist because John the Baptist baptized him. So obviously that's how that works. Side note, anyhow, so John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, right? And then this is just after that. Jesus has started his own ministry, and John's disciples, they get in this argument and they start getting confused. They're like, hang on, how come Jesus, like we started that? Like, we baptized you, Jesus. How come you're becoming such a big deal? Like, what's up with that? You know, like, I taught him everything he knows. What's this Jesus guy doing? And so they get kind of like upset, and they're like, they go to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist lays down a super sweet one-liner. He basically says, no, guys, you don't get it. Jesus, a little bit more special than us. And he says, he must be greater and I must be lesser, right? Like that just beautiful one-liner. I must be lesser, he must be greater. This beautiful little maxim. And then right after that verse, he gets into the author of John, gets into this little theological discourse about how like Jesus is from heaven. It's this whole thing. Really cool. I would encourage you to continue reading it, but we will not delve into that today. But he must be greater and I must be lesser, right? And within that, he tells the story of, or he uses example of a bridegroom, right? Like he talks about, I am this bridegroom. I am this bridegroom. I'm like the best man. I'm the friend of the groom. And what he is referring to, similar to today, what he's referring to is there in the olden times wedding situation, there was a best man. There was someone who was like just the best friend of the groom. You know, so like for most of you guys, that would be me, obviously. No, I'm just kidding. There was the best friend of the groom, and he had a central role to play in the wedding. All right. He was the guy who, side note, this is a very patriarchal society, so just know that in advance, all right? And that is not how we operate now. But most weddings were arranged marriages, right? And so he was the guy, the groom, the best man was the guy who went and like almost negotiated with the father and said like, okay, what's your dowry gonna be? Like, how are we gonna work this out? What day is it gonna be? He set everything up for the groom, right? And then when the actual wedding came, he's the one who made sure that the bride actually got. All right, so like it wasn't like a posse of girls like Instagramming and getting their hair did and like having mimosas for the last time. It was just this dude showing up and saying, all right, you ready to go? And she's probably like, yeah, whatever. I wish I had a mimosa. And then they would go down and get married. And then after the wedding, he was the one, this is the weird part, he was the one who stood outside the door and waited till they consummated the marriage and then took the bed sheets to say like, no, we're good. All right, so that was him throughout every stage of the wedding. He was this integral part of it, right? In preparing it and setting it up. But because of that, there was this very specific law that said, if you are the groomsman, if you are the best man, you absolutely cannot ever marry or have relations with the bride because there's such a close relationship there. That has to be, right? So you cannot, there's a law, absolutely no matter what. Like, it was already looked down upon, but, like, with this one particular person, it's like, no. Like, you just cannot, all right? Because that is so close. And so the central thing that John's reflecting there is for the groomsman, for the best man to be successful, the groom and the bride have a successful wedding, right? Like, at the end of the day, his success has nothing to do with him. He cannot be the one that gets the girl. He just can't. He cannot be the one that has a joyful day. He just can't. His joy, like John said, his joy is found in his friend getting married, right? His success is in the success of this other guy, all right? And so that is the relationship that John is mirroring. John is saying, this is what I am to Jesus. I'm the guy that sets it up. Yeah, I might have baptized him. I might have arranged a marriage. All that's great, but like, I'm not the one getting married. I can't be the one connecting with the people like Jesus is. I'm just the one that has so much joy when Jesus does it because my job is fulfilled, right? So that is our story this morning, our context of our story this morning, right? And what I think that story is telling us, I think that story is telling us two things. The first thing I think it's telling us is a way for us to interact with God. And the second thing is I think it's telling us a way for us to interact with each other. All right, in case y'all guys didn't know, we are in the middle of a series where we're looking at how to be in community with each other. We're looking at how to interact with each other in community. And so last week we talked about the way that we love like God loves us, and how that's central to community. And so this week we're talking about rejoicing for other people. All right, our success being other people's success. All right, and it's a perspective change. It's not something that the world normally tells us, right? Normally, your success is when you get the promotion, or when you have the nice house, or when you've got the big bank account, or when you can do whatever. Like, our success is defined by us. But in this story, our success has nothing to do with us. It's defined by another and how we helped them get there. All right? So, the first thing that it tells us about our relationship with God. All right, and this is central to everything. This is just like gospel 101, I think. It's John's line, I must be lesser, he must be greater. All right, like that is like our mantra as Christians. I must be lesser, he must be greater. Our entire lives should be living that out, where I am lesser, God is greater. Our entire lives should be a reflection of, I am lesser, God is greater. Everything that I do is to glorify God. Right? That's our entire thing. And the truth is, the more we do that, the better we become, and the more, like, good, if you will, we are. The more that we are willing to take ourselves out of the picture and just reflect God, then the better we are for it. It's kind of like, with an entirely different scripture, I've used the analogy before where it's flashlight. Right? Like, I wish I had a flashlight in this moment, but if you would imagine with me, it's kind of like a flashlight. If you take a flashlight apart, right, there's the battery and there's the casing, and then there's like the light bulb, but there's like this mirror part, right? You know, the circular mirror part? The whole point of that mirror part is it's what like makes the beam. It's the difference between these lights and like an actual beam light, right? In this equation, we are the mirror. We are the thing reflecting God's light into the world, right? And to be a good mirror, you have to have as little properties of your own as possible, right? Like if a mirror has a bunch of smudges all over it, or a bunch of writing, or has its own personality and quirks and weird stuff, then it's not actually doing a good job reflecting. And in the similar way, the more that we take our humanness out of it and just reflect God, the better we are for it, right? The better we can be the light in the darkness. I think that's why Jesus is constantly saying things like, give up your whatever and follow me. Jesus is constantly saying, you know, like, you must die to gain life. Jesus is constantly saying things like, or even Paul especially will say, like, the old has passed away, there is a new creation. It's that sense of, I'm giving up all this baggage and all these things, and I'm saying, no, I'm going to be defined by God and God's reflection through me. Right, so that is our role, I think. And that's what this passage tells us about how to interact with God. But then through doing that, I think it also tells us how to interact with each other. Right, because I think a similar thing has to happen to effectively live in community. Right, I think to effectively live in community, we have to be willing to put other people first. Right, this is just a really basic Jesus thing. But we have to be willing to put other people first and realize, my story might not be the most important thing. This other person's story might be more important than that, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what John the Baptist had to do, is he had to sit down and he had to say, yeah, I'm the main character of my own story. Like, I got a shout out in the Bible. I'm a big deal. I baptized Jesus, but it's not my story that matters. It's Jesus's, right? He had to say, Jesus's story, whatever Jesus is about to do through the rest of the Gospel of John, is so much more important. And so whatever I do needs to help him be successful. That is my role, is being the supporting cast, being the extra role, whatever it is. And the cool thing is John does it. I think that sometimes there's just like fun little literary devices throughout the Gospels, and this is one of them. So line, I must be lesser, he must be greater, is the last time John the Baptist ever speaks in the gospel. And so he appears like 11 times. From this point forward, every time it's a smaller and smaller mention, until at the end it's just like, oh, hey, John died. Okay, moving on. Like, it's just literally John's role in the story decreases from this point forward, which is just this incredible, like, the author saying, look, I'm going to put this into practice. Literally, he became lesser. And while he was doing that, Jesus becomes greater. Jesus becomes a bigger part of the story. Jesus becomes the central focus, whereas you're reading the Gospels, you're like, yeah, I know who the main character is. It's Jesus, right? And that's only possible because all of these people were willing to be the supporting cast. right? So for us, as people in community, I would challenge us to do a similar thing. Now, I want to add a caveat here, all right? I am not just telling you, like, you don't matter, we all just need to be robots, things like that. Like, your individual self is awesome. God has created you to be this beautiful, unique thing, and your individual self is awesome, all right? And what you do in the world 100% matters, right? Your story matters. Your main character of your story matters, but other people's stories matter too. And I think that's the disconnect we get sometimes. We forget that everyone else has a story too. So I forget that when I get that promotion, it means that four other people didn't, you know? Or I forget that in my haste to get to work in the morning and I cut somebody off because it's so important that I get there on time, I just made three other people late. Like, we forget that everyone has a story. Everyone. And this is not just true of, like, I talk about this a lot, so you'll probably hear this a lot, but just that idea of us just realizing, like, I am not the only person alive in this world. Like, I think a lot of times we live like it's the Truman Show, right? Like, I live like all of you are just paid actors. I am living my life. You're all reacting to me like this is just the Truman Show. But we need to realize it's not. Like, we all have important roles and stories to play. So in community, it's okay for us to take a step back and say, how can I empower that person's story? You know, like, how can I do that? And I think it happens through a couple of ways. All right, so the first way is we've got to get into people's stories so that we can know what's going on. We've got to actually build relationships with people. All right, that's the first thing. We spend a lot of times talking at people, or we spend a lot of times being around people. We spend a lot of times not actually building relationships with people. And so that's our first step, is I need to figure out who you are and what you're about so that I can actually be a part of your story and help you if I need to. You know, it's building those relationships. It's taking the time to say, like, who is this person? What are their quirks? What are they into? What are they interested in? What are their goals and ambitions? And how do I overlap with that? You know, because, like, maybe Joel's goals and ambitions are to be an acrobat. You know, maybe Joel really loves doing backflips and he's all about acrobatics. And somehow I guess and I can help him with that. Or even if I can't, I can go to his acrobatic show and encourage him. Who are the people? Joel, also, if you were an acrobat, I would go. Side note. I would watch that in a heartbeat. Who are these people and what do we actually know about? So let's start building relationships with people. And when we build relationships with people, let's not do it so that we can figure out what they can do for us. You know, I think a lot of times our relationships are very us motivated. You know, it's like, all right, Sarah's a lawyer. I need to be her friend just in case I get arrested. Like, let's sweep in there. You know, like what? We see people as commodities and as assets and as, like, these little, it's almost like we see them as baseball cards that we can trade their stats and say, like, all right, Anjanette's a good cook. I need Joy's wisdom, so I'm going to trade the, you know, like, that's how we treat people. But no. Let's build relationships not with commodities, but with people. All right, so when you're doing this, don't just be seeing people as something, as an object. See them as people. All right, the next way we do this is, because we can't build relationships with everybody. There's some science number out there that says something like you can only have 100, you what? Right, you can only have like 150 friends and you can only have like 20 close friends or something. I don't know, they've scienced it. So there's some numbers out there. There's a limit. Like, we can't just, like, be friends with all 7 billion people in the world, right? It's nice, but we can't. So the second part is realizing that whatever we're doing in the world, that it does have an impact on people, even the people we don't think about, the people we don't have relationships with, the people that aren't at the front of our minds. What we do matters all the time. You know, like the video said, we could just be a random person sipping coffee in the back. We could just be a light in the window at dusk. You know, we could just be that car that lets someone else over in traffic. A lot of mine are traffic related because Atlanta traffic sucks. But we could just be that random extra that no one thinks about. But our role matters. And so thinking about constantly what I'm doing impacts people's stories. You know, if I go into Chick-fil-A and I'm just a jerk to the lady, you know, like I'm just like awful, I'm just an extra in her story, but I've ruined her day. You know, like her story's now different because of that. So we need to start after the building relationships, like I'm going to care about the people I know about kind of a thing. We need to realize that it's happening all the time. We are always in other people's stories. Every time we make contact with someone, and a lot of times, even when we don't realize we're making contact with someone, we are an extra in their stories. And so we need to be living in such a way that that is a good thing. We need to be living in such a way that we are reflecting God. We need to be living in such a way that we are not sidetracking their story. I remember one time, I don't remember who the people were, but I saw an SNL skit where essentially the premise was there were these people that were extras in a movie, but the whole time they just like kept making it about themselves, you know? And it just entirely ruined the movie. I think it was Will Ferrell. It just entirely ruined the movie. It was hilarious. I loved it. But the point was, if I'm watching a movie and like the extras in the background like jumping up and down and saying, "Hi, Mom," it ruins the movie, right? And so we need to be thinking about how can I live my life in such a way that I'm just not wrecking everyone else's story? You know, that I'm not the jerk singing this song at the breakup. You know, like how can we do that? How can we live that? And through that, I don't have one answer for you. This isn't like a playbook, like, all right, here's these three things you have to do for this. It's just a way you got to think about it. It's like, it's almost, a lot of Jesus stuff is like, he just radically shifts your perspective. And then you're like, crap. All right, Jesus, I get it. Dang it. And that's almost what we have to do here. We have to shift our perspective and we have to start thinking like that, because the truth is this room is full of so much power and potential, right? Each one of you have so many people in your lives that you interact with every day, that you look up to, that look up to you, that count on you, that you are varying levels of character in their stories. And if we all use that in the right way, what an incredible impact we can have on the world just by extras in a coffee shop. All right? Because we just have that level of influence. And so it's realizing that and then doing that. All right? As a side illustration, I will tell you, the other day I was hanging out with some friends from college, and they played the game, "How did you meet William?" It was like, "When did you see William for the first time?" And hearing all of them, I was like, oh crap, I need to pay more attention to what I'm doing with my life. Because one guy was like, "I saw you in a Speedo at a football game for the first time." And I was like, who's that guy? Or another person, they were like, "The first time I saw William was at a basketball game and he was dressed like the opposing coach and just like mimicking everything he did." And I was like, sorry, y'all. And then there was one time, the first time they met me, I was at an open mic and I was saying a poem about manatees. And there was it was just all these ridiculous stories. No, unfortunately not. There's pictures on Facebook. It's terrible. Unfortunately, but I realized this is what we do. We are constantly living our lives and people are constantly noticing us. And then a year from now, we have to come to the fact that like they say the first time I saw you was in a Speedo, but people are constantly noticing us in their stories. All right. And so she's explaining what a Speedo is, and I feel so bad for that cover. That's why you have grandparents, so that they can teach Speedos. I'm sorry, Rachel. Don't Google it. All right. But so that is our takeaway. That's our takeaway is, what are you, a good extra or a bad? All right? Because to be in community, we must be less so that they must be greater. And at the end of the day, you can stand back and you can say, I have joy because Randy has joy. I have success because Angela has success. You know, I have succeeded because Carol has succeeded, and that is what matters. It is not my success, and it is not my accomplishment. It is the people in my life's accomplishment. There's an HR guy I know, he says every interview he does, he's an HR for Nestle, so he's like hiring a lot of people constantly. He says every interview he does, he asks, what was the last thing you did to further someone else's career? And if they answer with someone like the same level or lower than them, he hires them. And if they answer about like a CEO, he's like, I don't know about you. But what have you done to further someone else's career? All right, that is our question. That is our perspective. That is our motivation. And that is our joy. I have joy because they have joy. I must be lesser so that they can be greater. And with that, we can be an incredible, incredible community.